You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Dean Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Whale Wars After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Whale Wars After Show.
The world is a vampire.
There we go, Ben.
Every week.
Hello, everybody. Bing is for doing, and we're here doing another AfterBuzz TV Whale Wars After Show for Season 5, Episode 4, Into the Belly of the Beast.
Whale Wars.
Into the Belly of the Beast we go, Ben Bottomley.
Excellent. Let's go.
I am your host, Phil Svitek, joined alongside, of course, the young, handsome Ben Bottomley.
That is I. Hello, everybody. Unfortunately, you can't see us tonight, but...
It's all right. They probably don't want to. They'd rather listen to us anyway.
Yeah.
So, let's get into it. You know, in terms of tonight's episode, we had two major plot lines, and we will discuss as such. You know, they kept kind of intercutting back and forth to keep it interesting, and they quite did. But let's talk about the Bardo and Erwin back to Australia and what went on there. So at length, last time we discussed what the strategy was, and my first thought is I'm going to be interested to see how far the Japanese ship follows them.
Yeah. I wonder if they'll follow them all the way back to port and then try to mess with them when they're either landing or trying to fix the Bardo. I don't know. You know how we keep saying if you want to stop them, you have to do it in the port.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they're going
to
do.
I mean, it's 100% guaranteed to keep an eye out on two boats.
Yeah.
Now, if you know the boat's going to be there for a while or it's just going to be the one boat, then maybe you can leave. It seems like, you know, nothing happens fast in the water.
Yeah.
So let's like, oh, we found a ship on the radar. Only 8 hours until we get to it.
Yeah.
You know, so at the end of the day, I think just have the ship follow.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they've still got a massive fleet out there. I don't think one ship is going to... I think it's going to be beneficial for that one ship to keep its eyes on 66% of the Sea Shepherd's crew.
Yes. That's beneficial.
That's what I would do.
And then, apart from that, you know, luckily the crew is safe. And let's talk about the amazement of this pontoon holding on to basically gum and spit.
Yeah. That was, I mean, you know, it broke off, but those straps did hold it on, kind of. You know, it was unattached, but still attached.
I credit Beck. I mean, you know, there was that one part in the episode where, you know, they fell because I think one of the ropes hit him. I wasn't exactly... do you know what exactly happened when they were like, whoa?
I think they said it got hit by another rogue wave.
And they fell?
Yeah, or something. I mean, I guess it'd be kind of like turbulence on an airplane, but they got knocked around a bit.
Well, here's the thing. It's like you're standing on top of a roof. Except this roof is moving.
Yeah.
And it's pretty slippery.
Uh-huh. And it's wet, and you're being slammed by waves. That was impressive that they were holding on there.
That was. So I give a lot of credit to those guys. I mean, out of all the ships, the Bardo scares me the most simply because of, A, you're contained within this vessel. It's basically like a submarine for all intents and purposes.
It does. Yeah, it definitely scares me too. I mean, just the thought of being in there, that enclosed space with no, there's no deck that you can walk outside and just like experience the fresh air and openness. You're always in a tight corridor, and the thing isn't meant for the waters that they take it into.
No.
So there's always a sense of danger when you're on that thing, because something could happen, like your pontoon breaking off.
Yes.
So those guys are brave.
And then, of course, the scenario came up when we're hitting a lot of big waves. This was, I believe, immediately following. And so the debate became, okay, do we send a small boat, which is equally dangerous to save people, or is that just going to risk more people?
Yeah. Peter Brown says, I mean, I don't want to rag on him, but because he had, you know, he had a valid reason for saying what he did. He was saying that it's not worth it because we're going to be putting everybody at risk if you do this.
Yeah.
The entire crew of both ships will be at risk because of that tail.
Are they teaching you philosophy in high school yet, Ben?
Sure.
Okay. So you understand it. So utilitarianism versus it begins with a D.
Yeah.
I can't think of it right now.
Yeah.
But the utilitarianism meaning, you know, you basically go by the numbers. It's a numbers game.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the other one, I got to remember this. You keep talking, Ben. I'll figure this out. I'm going to bing it right now, baby.
Bing.
But, you know, in terms of Peter Brown, he's going with utilitarianism versus, yeah, like, okay, if you go the other route, you say, you know what, while we may die, we deserve to try to help these people because
mm-hmm.
we're in a better position to help these people.
Yeah. And he doesn't, I mean, he obviously views the situation and the numbers and just the risk involved of taking that little boat out there to try and rescue these people. I mean, I don't know what I would do in that situation, but you appear to still be binging it over there.
I am trying to bing it.
Right.
I typed in the utilitarianism and thinking that it would give me hopefully the opposite, but I'm still working on it. But anyway, I'm actually surprised at Paul Watson's decision, given that. Or we're presented in the drama that happens.
Because
mm-hmm. Sid's certainly torn. He's like, we can't do this. And eventually, Paul makes the decision that certainly the Bardot wanted him to make, and he sends the small boats out.
Yeah. But Paul definitely has more experience out on the sea than probably anybody on the Steve Irwin. And the interview, I'm never going to remember anybody's name on this show, but the interview with the, I think it was the first mate
mm-hmm.
of the Bardot, he was saying, yeah,
Beck.
Beck, that sounds right. He was saying, we know what they're thinking over there. It's dangerous waters. We've got the Shonen Maru on our tail. Yeah, it probably doesn't make too much sense to come and get us, but we wouldn't be asking so much if we didn't think we needed it. They are not out here seeing, just feeling what this boat is doing and seeing what's going on with that pontoon. And I think Paul probably was able to understand what they're going through a little better and realize that they needed help.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, I mean, you know, just to play devil's advocate, you can. Some people don't necessarily want to be pushed to a certain level. Especially, I mean, you're pushing these, like they said, you know, are you prepared to die for whales? It's you know, we may joke about it, but that's a serious issue.
Yeah, I'm not joking.
And so, you know, you have to be able to push people to a certain level, and they can rise to the occasion, even though they might have thought that they couldn't.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's that aspect of it, too.
Right.
So, I don't know. Either way, I'm glad that the Bardot certainly got what it wanted,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to save five people.
Right. They did. Oh, no. We didn't see what happened, actually.
We didn't.
We don't know how that ended.
No, it's ongoing. That was kind of the big decision.
Yeah.
Is Paul going to send the boat out, and we're left with send the small boats.
Yeah. And then, of course, the Shonen picks up speed. That looks good.
So we saw that. Now, on to the Bob Barker.
Bob Barker. It starts out promising.
Yeah.
They find the whole fleet, pretty much, in the beginning of the episode.
Pretty much.
And then they spot their ship, which, of course, is a Yushinmaru, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, it just sucks how it's just so much of a guessing game.
Yeah. And if you guess, if you go for the wrong one, then that's it.
We've got to have some sort of satellites. Like, Google Earth must be advanced by now.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, maybe they could... I don't know. They haven't gotten any, like, anonymous tips this time, apparently, like they have in the past, but I guess they don't really need to, because they've... That's not really going to help them in any way, but...
Well, you know, what needs to be happening more is, okay, today... You know, their strategy was use the prop fouls.
Right.
And I like the second prop foul more.
The metal one? The
yeah,
chain?
Yeah, that one's pimp.
That one's awesome.
That's what you need to go. You know, because then you're attaching that to the damn boat. Obviously, it's more dangerous, but come on.
And that would suck to get off. Those are permanent.
As far as we're concerned.
Yeah.
You know, but I also think, you know, throw a damn tracker on that thing.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, if they can get close enough, that'd be worth doing.
Well, because here's the thing. You know that these guys are going to be following you, and you know you need to stop them. Okay, so why don't we hook on the metal prop fowler, and then why don't we also add a tracking device onto it? Therefore, as we get away, we know, we start to eliminate. It's like playing Battleship almost, right?
Right.
You know, you're finding, okay, where are we? You know, in this case, finding the Nishimaros, they're misses. You know, mm-hmm. But at least we know where they are. So, you know, now we can kind of track it and stay away from those people.
Yeah. Stay away from the wrong ships.
And not only that, they might, some of them, you know, might lead us to the whaling ship.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's true.
So I think, I don't know. I would like to see that more.
Yeah, definitely.
What'd you think of our new captain for the small boat?
New captain. That was a new captain?
One of them was Potsy.
Oh, for the Delta. Okay, I thought you were talking about the Bardot.
No.
Okay.
No, Alex, he's awesome.
Right.
He's not going anywhere.
Yeah. The captain for the small boat. He was just... No.
He was a little bit older.
Was that... Did they say that was his first time taking out a small boat?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, he
seems...
Thanks
for watching.
Okay, names. Remember that. I can't remember the names.
I didn't even tell you the name. I just told you he's a new captain for the small boat.
That's how bad it is. anyway.
Well, I mean, he must have not made an impression to the point that he was probably good.
Yeah, he...
Right? We'll give him the benefit of that if you didn't...
Yeah, no, I didn't really remember him or realize what he was doing.
Yeah.
Realize that he was new. So, I mean, he got the prop fellers in there when he needed to.
Yeah.
And he didn't kill his entire crew, so mission
accomplished. No, he did not. Unfortunately, the radars went out.
Yeah.
Or the GPS, rather.
It was radar.
And that's no fun. I mean, I forget. I wish I could give the quote exactly, but, you know, such a loss of, you know, when you don't know when your mothership is, it's like your home.
Right.
And, like, I mean, that's a pretty shitty home to begin with, no offense.
Yeah.
To be one. But, like, when that's your only, like, landmass, that's your haven.
You don't want to lose that out there.
Yeah, no.
You really don't want to be, especially, like, if you're stuck out there at night. We've seen that, and it gets bad. But, yeah, he definitely, I mean, they lost the radar due to those water cannons, which... I didn't realize... I mean, they looked powerful, but I didn't realize just how insane they were until they got that close to try to put that chain on there.
Yeah. I mean, those things are powerful.
Oh, yes.
But, nevertheless, you know, hey. You know, you got to take one for a team, and I don't know. I think for me, adrenaline would just set in, and, like, again, if I had the ability to put on that metal profile, I'd be like, let's do that every time. I don't care. You know, yeah, we're going to get sprayed with water. We got suits on. Yeah, it's still going to hurt like a biatch, but come on. Let's do this. Like, no, seriously, that's the... Go for the best option.
Yeah.
You know? We're at... Well, this is whale wars, not whale skirmishes.
Yeah. I think they need some better delivery system or just better things in general. Yeah. I mean, the chain, like, the method they were going to use to attach it, it didn't fire. So they lost their radar and they got just... One of the guys got pretty messed up from those water cannons for nothing.
Well, not for nothing, but yes.
Okay.
Well, you know, I don't know. Well, what really, really sucked, though, I mean, this was out of anyone's control, really, was the Bob Barker and the engine crap now.
Yeah, that was really good timing for that to happen.
But, I mean, they, you know what, to their credit, they fixed it fast. Half an hour to fix a problem, that's not too bad.
For whatever reason, I thought he said 15 hours.
No.
And then, yeah, okay. Though that's a lot better, half an hour? Okay, yeah, that's really fast. 15 hours sounded a lot more realistic to me, but half an hour, okay.
Yeah, they said half an hour.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
And yeah, they were back on it. You know, and Alex was able to go full speed right after that, which, again, half an hour for what seemed like a pretty big deal. You know, I just hope he didn't, like, you know, sometimes when you fix a problem, you're like, yeah, it works. And then, like, is everything working? Seems to be fine.
Yeah, mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would hope he didn't do that.
I don't think he's that type of guy, but, you know, I mean, there's so many people out there that do that, and it's because, you know, especially in this situation, it's not because you're chipping anything, but you just want to impress by, like, you know, like, the situation, and so you want to make sure that you're doing it fast. So, again, it's not that typical, like, you send in your phone for repair, and they just kind of go, they look at it, they plug it into a charger, they kind of, and then send it back to you, yep. Working now. So they're back on the water. But, you know, it was enough to have the Japanese get back to them.
Yeah, that happened. I am remembering this, yeah.
That did happen. Mm-hmm. So, as Ben remembers. But apart from that, then they tried to... You know, we're kind of jumping back in time and things like that. It's chronologically we've been jumping back and forth, but you know, then they send off the second prop Fowler to stab them in the water again, so that way they can get away now that they are fixed and all that. So
that was weird, though. They got those fixed much faster than ever before.
Well, I think they know what's expected.
Yeah, that's, you know, that explains it, which is why I wanted to see new things this year.
Yeah.
Like, I was hoping that chain would work, because I think a metal chain getting tangled up is going to suck a lot more than a rope.
You know what? We should have, like, a remote control small boat that looks like it's got, like, it would have, like, wax dummies on it. And then, you know, that you could just totally just have go against the Japanese.
Right.
And it would just hit one of their boats.
And explode.
It could explode, yes. That would be fun, too.
I think we need to sink some boats. Sink some ships.
Yeah. But, like, you know, and just to be causing damage to them and first off, A, would be, you could just, A, have fun with it, just by annoying the Japanese, because they'd be, like, shooting at this damn boat, thinking that there's actual people on it.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you could obviously sacrifice it to do whatever you wanted it to do. Phil Peterson, that's the new boat driver.
Phil Peterson.
Yes, Phil Peterson.
Yep.
So, anyway, why don't we take a quick commercial break and then come back with predictions, Ben? Does that sound good to you?
That sounds fair to me.
All right.
Hey there, good buddies. The handle's Wooly Bear. I'm a truck driving man, but I'm not that old school kind of truck driving man, no. I like to listen to podcasts while I'm driving through these great United States of ours. And my favorite podcasts in the world are from AfterBuzz TV. And why? Because AfterBuzz TV is like a post-game wrap-up show for all your favorite TV shows, like Jersey Shore, Dancing with the Stars, Mad Men, and a whole truckload more. I like listening to my Gossip Girl podcast, catching up with all my fellow fans and getting all the latest news and gossip. No, I got some strong opinions. And AfterBuzz TV lets me share those opinions with thousands of other listeners. Woo-wee, what a feeling. I used to doze off on those lonely stretches of road. And don't worry, I got the cruise control. But now I'm wide awake and listening to all the AfterBuzz TV goodness. Check them out. Give them a holler. And tell them the old Woolly Bear sent you.
Welcome back, guys. So just really quickly, I'm gonna do some news that I found real fast.
News.
Hold on 1 second. There we go.
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right. In the addition of You've Got, Whale War stars Shannon Mann and Chad Halstead discussed their work with the Ocean Conservatory organization Sea Shepherd. The group, according to their website, aims to end the destruction of habit. Habit and slaughter of wildlife in the world's oceans in order to conserve and protect ecosystems and species by using innovative direct action tactics to investigate, document, and take action when necessary. The organization recently garnered attention when their founder, Paul Watson, was arrested and subsequently released from a German jail after Costa Rica claimed he endangered a fishing boat and crew in 2002. Only a few months earlier, a Sea Shepherd boat called the Bob Barker disrupted a Japanese fishing vessel with lasers and flares.
Lasers and flares?
Yes. This news came just recently.
Yeah, that's...
From the Huffington Post.
Well, now we know to expect lasers and flares.
Yes, indeed.
I like those.
So that is your AfterBuzz TV news and gossip for this week. But without further ado...
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, Ben, what do you predict?
What do I predict? I predict lasers and flares.
Good one.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Where are we? We've got the Barkers being tailed by... a ship, and so all of them are being tailed.
Yes. Yes.
I think the Bob Barker is probably going to try to lose the tail, because that's what Alex likes to do.
I think they need the tracker. They really need the tracker.
They need to disturb them more.
Yes. And one thing, you know, as you guys are supporting the Sea Shepherds, one of the ways you can support us is by if you're shopping on Amazon, go to AfterBuzzTV.com first, click on our Amazon banner, and shop away, shopaholics. It helps us. It's no extra cost to you. So let's keep this ship staying afloat. How about that? What do you say, guys? Will you do us a solid? We think you will. So, Ben Bonley. What do you want to promote?
I want to promote Breaking Bad Season 5 as much as possible because it's going to be awesome.
Okay, and when does that begin?
That begins July 15th at a certain time. I'm not entirely sure, to be honest, but AfterBuzz TV is going to be covering
it. Check your local listings. How about that?
There you go. That'll work.
So, yes, it is another show that AfterBuzz TV will be covering. We've got, I believe, RJ Mitty and Anna Gunn set to be here for the premiere.
That is cool.
So stay tuned for that. And any further developments, of course, follow us on Twitter at AfterBuzz TV. Until next time, we'll be seeing you. On behalf of Ben Bottomley, we're out.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.